Well, good evening, everyone. If you would grab a hymn book and let's stand. Let's turn to page 56 and we'll sing The Old Rugged Cross. Sing with me.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
the third and then the fourth. On the third.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Amen. Well, we surely don't worship the old rugged cross, but we're so very, very grateful for what it represents, for what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us there. You know, again, everything we were talking about this morning that He won for us through His sacrifice at Calvary. This evening, I'd ask you to be praying for a couple of folks. Sherry Stowe's grandson has been in ICU for all my about 24 hours now. He's only 4 months old and a very, very bad respiratory thing going on there. Can't hardly breathe. And so, again, 4 months old, he just don't have a clue what's going on to him except he's sick and hurts. Also, pray for Virgie's brother, Ray Cloud's family. Of course, for him as well, for grace for him. It looks as if he's going to be ushered into glory here sometime in the next few hours, according, of course, to God's purpose and plan and all that. And in the same sense, Brother Benny House's sister. Fortunately, both these folks know the Lord. She's on the verge of glory, too. So please pray for those families. And, of course, so many of our church family is sick. And I think Michelle Flores is sick this evening. Is that right, brother? See, the Flores men are out, or some of them this evening. And so pray for each other. A lot of folks sick during these days. It's good to see you all. Glad you're able to be here tonight. Looking forward to what the Lord will give to us in song and, of course, through His Word. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other tonight. Let's do that.
Okay, as you return back to your chairs, let's turn to page 40. I'm sorry, 41. 41, there is a fountain. Let's sing the first, fourth, and last. Here we go.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
On the fourth,
e'en since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Let's turn also to 507. Sing it all.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus taught me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he's to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Good singing. You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places and get ready to see this evening's offering. And Carter, are you by yourself today? All right. Y'all gonna have to work him hard now. I'm gonna give him a reason to go back. There he is. How are you, Drew? Good. Well, go over a few announcements here. Tonight is the very last night to purchase your tickets. $11 for each plate, and a part of that proceeds go toward the kids to go to camp. There will be a tip jar, so I was reminded to bring you ones. Of course, you don't have to drop a one in the tip jar. You could drop a 5 or a 10 or 20 or, you know, something of that nature also in it, and it will be appreciated. The home builders have a class activity on the 18th. The ladies' fellowship has they're on the 21st, and it says bring your favorite snack for that. And it's just interested to hear when Teresa comes back and what the favorite snacks might have been. You know, it kind of makes me wonder, is that really a snack? You know, so anyway. Metro Saints Fellowship is coming up on the 23rd. I'd like to invite all the ones who have time on their hands, retired mostly, usually, but not always. But hey, if you got time to come, come on. I think this week, this coming time, they're gonna bring their cards and sit around and play some card games. Although I think cards are the devil, but that's just me personally. That's the way I was raised. I can't help it. You know, I can't find the chapter and verse, but that's what I was told. Anyway, look forward to having some fun with that. The 26th for camp registration. We need that so we can get it in the mail for a discount, the $25 discount on that. We do need ushers and greeters. See Brother Ronnie and Brother Jacob McMullen for that. And again, I was sitting down here this evening, and I heard y'all singing. Y'all sing pretty good. We need some people in the choir, right, Brother John? Oh, there we go. So hey, if it's maybe you used to and you need to get back in possibly, and you know, you might be one of those things that you say, I don't know how. We got enough folks up here to cover you up. We need some good volume here, and then we got some empty seats. You know, what's that say? You know, let's fill these seats up. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Lord, thank you for a wonderful day, Lord. Lord, I'm asking right now to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and giver. Lord, most of all, the whole reason why we're here tonight is to hear from you. Lord, I know it seems like a repetitive prayer, but it's one that means from my whole heart. Please, Lord, be the preacher, hide him behind the cross, and you give him the words to say. Lord, please prepare our hearts to say, to receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we've been over the last, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, Sunday evening, been looking at the subject of our love for God. And kind of come to the end of that series, but certainly not the end of the subject on how we should indeed love our God. And last time we were talking about how faithfulness will produce, or God, a love for God will produce faithfulness. And so we want to try to come to a conclusion on that this evening. And you know, I did want to express my gratitude to all you that are a continual encouragement to me. You know, there were several saying one thing or another about this morning's message, and I appreciate that. I think you're exceeding gracious to your preacher. But when you preach a message like this morning, and you're so focusing on the eternal truths of Christ's sacrifice and what He's done for us in that, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, and I know the other preachers here would echo this, that your longing, your great, great burden of your heart, that if there's anyone present in the service, that they wouldn't leave without Christ. Wouldn't once again, or possibly leave a service where you focused on Calvary and go on without Christ. It's a so please pray. And, you know, in that, pray that God would be pleased to bring folks here. Bring the lost into our services. And that they might have the opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And who will, we mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago, believers produce believers. Christians produce Christians. And so as we consider that, we need to be involved in both witnessing and bringing folks under the sound of the gospel, the ministry of the Word of God. As we quote that verse so often from Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we want to bring folks under the hearing of the Word of God. And even with that, I'd ask you to be praying. We've scheduled a short series of meetings for in June this year. I was going to say pastor, but he's not pastoring anymore. Evangelist Mark Thrift is going to be with us on June 11th, and then on through that Wednesday. So he's a preacher from head to toe, and he was here. He was the preacher that was here for our anniversary day a few years back, and look forward to having him with us in June. Happens to be the church that looks like my granddaughter is going to be a member of one of these days, and that's okay. It's where Brother Andrew Martin's at, and Brother, what is the name of that church? I'm trying to remember. Parkwood Baptist Church, northern parts of Houston, and I guess I'll have to go down there and check it out, because my granddaughter is going to be a member there. Well, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 this evening. We'll launch our series, our message this evening from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you found your place there, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Reverence to God's good word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 1. Notice the tenor of Paul's words here. He says, let a man so account of us. The idea is that make folks take note of this in us, as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, or beyond all of this, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Father, once again we bow before you this evening, and we surely realize our great need of you this evening. Father, these dear folk, my brothers and sisters in Christ, have come out here on this Sunday evening, and Father, I'm asking you, as I stand before them, would you be pleased to give them some bread for their souls. pray that, Father, as we, this evening, as we gather around your word, you'd be pleased to do for us and deal with us in tremendous ways. Feed us, Father, from your table. And Lord, again, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Calvary, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Starting right into this evening, not a lot of introduction. We see here that there's a call to faithfulness, the clear call in the Word of God to faithfulness. It is, we just read, it is required. A requirement. We understand what that is. Something that is required of us. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Every one of us. Every one of us here this evening in this church house that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, has it been entrusted with the grace of God. With the grace of God. Even as we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, and we'll look at that in a moment, the manifold grace of God. And we are required to be faithful stewards. This biblical term, steward, is one that has been entrusted with the management of another's affairs or belongings in some sense. If you know the story of Joseph as he was sold as a slave into Egypt, he was a steward in the household of Potiphar at first. He was given a charge over Potiphar's affairs in the administration of his household. Later we find him doing the same thing. Where? In the prison house, as he was entrusted there in the prison house of taking care of things there. And then ultimately, God raised him up to be the number two leader and ruler in all of Egypt as a steward. Of the affairs of Egypt, the affairs of that, of guiding the Egypt through that severe famine. Well, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. We mentioned 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, certainly a companion verse. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I like that verse. Of course, it's hard not to like every verse in the good Word of God. Peter describes God's grace here as the manifold grace of God. And that word manifold has the idea of diverse. Of something that has various applications of it. You know, I think of that word, I would think of God's grace as a prism even. And as the sunlight shines through the prism, what does it do? It casts those colors of the rainbow and the beautiful, beautiful rainbow that it is. And indeed, there's a glory, there's a beauty about the manifold grace of God. Well, out of that manifold grace, God has been pleased to gift every one of us. Every one of us is gifted for God's service. And we are to use, as we read here, we're to use those gifts faithfully. We're to be faithful servants. And again, the primary and the ultimate motivation, if for my faithful service, is God's love for me, and in return, my love for Him. My love for our God. Well, we're to be those good managers of those gifts. Our gifts to serve are gifts of grace. It's interesting, if you're looking at that verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as every man hath received the gift. Now that word gift is interesting. I was just curious. Because sometimes in the New Testament, that word gift will be come from that word for grace. And in fact, that word gift there, well, the word for grace is the word charis. Charis. You all may be aware that I've got a granddaughter by the name of Charis. Well, when I'm mindful of it, I call her Gracie. I say, hey, Gracie. And she'll look at me, and then it dawns on her. But the word charis, the Greek word charis, means grace. Well, it's interesting that that word gift in 1 Peter 4:10 is the word charisma. Charisma, the Greek word charisma again. So we understand that these gifts are gifts of God's grace. We could just say they're grace gifts. Gifts that we receive from God in and through His grace being shed upon us. That beautiful, wonderful, manifold grace of God. Well, what's that involve? And our faithful service out of those gifts. Well, though this could be very long, but for the sake of you all being able to get home sometime this evening, we'll just look at a few of those. We understand, I think it's very obvious, that we are called to faithful service. Excuse me, faithful worship. Faithful worship. It's important that we're faithful in our worship of our God. And we see this, and obviously in a couple ways, but all the way back in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, listen to these words. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering, come before Him. Listen to this, I love these words. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't that a neat saying? Isn't that a neat word from God? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Yes, we're to worship our God faithfully. And that includes individually. You know, I love being here with y'all, believe it or not. You know, sometimes I preach kind of hard, but I really do love y'all. You know, it reminds me of my pastor in Georgia. His name was Tommy McElroy. And Tommy, he's about 5'8", and he's lost a lot of weight, but he almost matched that the other way as well. And Tommy was one of those Georgia preachers that, I mean, Tommy started loud and he went, and the volume went up from there. And bless the Lord, he always had something worth saying. But he said, Brother Jimmy says, one day there was a little boy come in the church house, and him and his mama were sitting on the front row, and Tommy got to preach, and Pastor Tommy was really getting after it. And that little boy's eyes was about this big. And after the service, he said, Pastor, why were you yelling at those people? And Brother Tommy, you know, he'd been at it a long time. And he says, well, son, they're bad. They need it. And that little boy, that satisfied him. Okay. But it's great to be together to worship the Lord. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But you know, some of the greatest times of worship I've had have been all by my lonesome. Huh? You ever get into a worship time with just you and the Lord? Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes I'll be driving down the road and some song or something will come to my mind. Some of these songs even we sang here this evening the Lord just gets in the car there and you know, you're thinking I better be careful because you're kind of, you know, wiping the eyes and it's just a good time with the Lord. We can worship Him individually, to say the least. And we can spend time with the Lord both in worship and in prayer, in His Word. And beloved, you will grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say this almost in direct ratio to your personal worship of God. You walk in a worshipful spirit with your God and you will grow in Him. There's no doubt about it. But as well, not only individually, but corporately. We can worship together. Isn't it wonderful? There's something about when you and I are right with the Lord individually, and we've been nurturing in our private worship, when we all get together, it's just the natural outflow, the overflow of our private worship. I would suppose one of the key verses or passages on this would have to be in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's such an important passage in Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning in verse 23 there. Notice the plural terms here, the plural pronouns. The Hebrew writer says, let us. Let us, plural, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. They're talking about the saved, drawing near to God. He says, let us consider, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're here, beloved, tonight, yes, to sing God's glory, yes, to hear from Him, but also to encourage and to challenge each other. To be that ones. We don't always have to provoke each other in a negative way. We can provoke in a positive way, too. There's such a thing as positive peer pressure. And it's a good thing. We go on here, and then it says in verse 24, still, the context is that plurality, the plural. Let us consider, verse 24 again, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What's the writer saying? It's important to get together. It's important for us to gather ourselves together. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner or the example of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Indeed, the importance of that corporate worship, being together. We're here in the service this evening because we believe that. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't be here tonight. You'd still have your feet up in the air and the lazy boy or whatever it is in the recliner. And some of you kind of look like you're still... No, I wouldn't say that. But we understand the importance of this. And beloved, that hit or miss attendance to the church services where the Word of God is preached and taught will hamper our growth in the Lord. You know, I had someone tell me this week, I'm kind of spontaneous in my church attendance. And I said, well, I'm thankful that you aren't spontaneous in your eating habits. He kind of looked at me that way, and I says, well, it looks like you eat pretty regular. I mean, a person wasn't starving. I could tell that. But hey, if we're going to grow and be nourished physically, we've got to feed ourselves. If we're going to grow in the things of God, we need fed. We need fed the good things of God, the Word of God. And it's part of the graces that God has given to us in that corporate worship. Well, it's obvious as we read here that our worshiping, praising God together is important to Him. It's important. And it's a mark of our faithfulness. It is indeed a mark of our faithfulness. Well, and notice here how the writer sums it up, that we should give ourselves to that assembling together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer and closer we get to the return of Christ, the more and more we need each other. You know, I know I sound like a broken record on this, but so be it. Have you, in my adult life, and as young as I am, no amens? As young as I am, I've never seen these United States of America more crazy. It's crazy. It's obvious you and I need each other all the more. This world is not our home and it's not our friend. We need the strength and the encouragement that we can get from each other. Well, we're called to be faithful in our worship. And as I skipped and tried to change my outline, we're also called to be faithful to serve. Also called to be faithful in our service. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And here it's the account of that dear lady, Lydia, when she was saved in Acts chapter 16 and 15. Under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, does when she was baptized, the verse says, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here is a baby Christian, brand just saved. And what's her desire? To serve.
A mark of our place in Christ is a heart, a desire to serve. And in this case, she wants to serve God's man, God's preacher, and doing for the Apostle Paul in his preaching team. Anybody ever hear of an old Southern Baptist preacher by the name of Vance Havner? He's been with the Lord for probably a couple decades now, but I've got a couple of his old books. And he said this: many churches are like an ailing lung with only a few cells doing all the breathing. The real life of the church is in a faithful few who keep it from being an animated corpse. Wow. Beloved, every one of us are gifted for God's service. Every one of us has a part to play here in the body of Christ. Well, what is a servant? What is a servant? Well, very simplistically, a servant is what? One who serves. One who serves others. Even as we see in the illustration of Lydia there in the book of Acts. What's the spirit of a servant? What's the attitude, I guess, is what we're asking of a servant? Well, a servant spirit or a servant attitude is basically the attitude of the spirit of a slave. A slave who is in service to his master. My master, your master, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my master. And I'm here, you're here, to serve Him. To serve Him. We are here to serve Him and not ourselves. Is that right? We're not here to look out for number one. We're not here to serve number one. One who is faithfully serving Christ does not serve for self-gratification. One who is a servant spirit does not serve for the accolades of others or the recognition of others. We're here to serve. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ. A faithful servant. In fact, listen to this. A faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ will be happy. He will be pleased. He'll be content to allow others to have the glory. Why? Because he's a servant. A servant doesn't look for those things. Why? Because he's in another service. He's not there for himself. He's not there looking out for himself. A true servant, now listen to this. A true servant or a slave has no rights of his own, does he? Oh, consumed with our rights? What's my right? Or that's not right. We need to get over ourselves. We're here in Christ's service. And I'm not here for my benefit. I'm here for His benefit and for His glory. For His calling to us is to fulfill His service. How? Faithfully. Faithfully. Well, thirdly, and here's where preachers get themselves in trouble. You'd think they'd know better. Well, we're called to be faithful with our giving. We're called to be faithful with our giving. And I know it's anathema to preach on giving, but so be it. I never was real smart. Lots of scripture in the New Testament about giving. Lots of scripture in the Bible about giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, I love this passage. Love this verse. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Boy, there's a tremendous principle there. There is also, and we're not going to take the time because we're kind of getting through these as briskly, as fastly as we can. But there's a law, a principle of sowing and reaping, isn't there? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap. And if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully, right? So there's a principle here. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ laying that principle out as well. given, it shall be given unto you. And and you can almost picture him standing there with a bushel basket in his hand and illustrating how, and when you give, it'll be given to you, and how it's shaken together and pressed down as much as it can hold, even to running over. Well, God bless you in your giving. But what's the key? You give. You give. In Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12, listen to this, right to our theme this evening. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Wow. What do you mean, Jesus? He says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, good old money, the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, a faithful steward, isn't that what he's talking about? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Again, this matter of faithfulness. Of faithfulness. And we're familiar with these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Paul writing there on this matter of giving. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. You know, you're not holding so tight to George when the plate goes by that he's screaming. And you'll let me go. No, it's a cheerful giver. A generous giver. Probably one of the most preached passages on giving is very similar to that very first verse we read in Luke. And it comes from the old prophet Malachi. In chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, he talks about giving there. And it says in verse 8, what's Malachi's question of the children of Israel? He says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, God says. But ye shall say, well, wherein? Wherein have we robbed you? Huh? Well, I've had folks along the way, they say, well, you can't teach tithing in the New Testament. Well, I can show you where you absolutely can teach tithing in the New Testament, but that's another lesson than this evening. But they said, they'll be very spiritual. And they said, well, I believe in grace giving. Okay. If you were required by the law to give 10%, what kind of giver should you be under grace? Huh? Under grace, I should be far more generous than we are under the law. The law was based on requirement. But grace is based on what? You know, love. Our love for God. He goes on, he says, now listen, you that would rob God of what belongs to Him. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he says this. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me, or test me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Isn't that very similar to what Jesus said there in Luke? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now listen to the principle as well that Malachi, under the inspiration of God, says, verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You shall not utterly destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. When we're faithful in our giving, God enters in and He takes care of us. We see here a protection that God will give. To protect and provide, that even those ravages of nature would be withheld. Isn't that what he says? What's he say? I rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the... Huh? God says he'll preserve even the fruits of our land. He'll protect those things, and he'll provide for us through that. Through his grace, again, as we're graciously faithful to him. You know, I ask myself, do I want God's provision? Do I want his protection? Then I should be generous with him. Faithful. Faithful in my giving. You know, I read the other day. There was a church like ours was having a Wednesday night meeting, and there was a millionaire in that church. And he wanted to give testimony, so the pastor gave him permission, and he says, I just wanted to share with y'all how the Lord allowed me to become a wealthy man. He says, way back before I had anything, when I made my first dollar, I went to a church meeting that night, and sure enough, there was a missionary up sharing his testimony and talking about his field. And he says, I just wanted to be part of his ministry, but I had $1. And I fought with myself whether I'd give that dollar or what to the missionary. And finally, I just gave in, covenanted with God, and I gave the dollar. He says, I believe tonight that I'm a rich man because I was faithful with that dollar. Everybody in the service was pretty moved about that. And he returned to his seat. And there's a little old lady sitting right there by him. She says, that was a wonderful story. I dare you to do it again. Huh? Pretty pointed, isn't it? Yeah. You was faithful with a dollar. How about now that you're a rich man? Oh my. The Lord, might the Lord help us to be faithful. The Lord has been pleased to finance His work through the giving of His people. Through the faithful giving of His people. And He'll use you and I. And He'll use you and I to further the work of our church. And indeed, there's times, just in the cycle of things, is even in these days, where sometimes things get tight around the church house. And I guarantee you, we're always trying to be wise with the tithes and offerings of our church family. It's just the right thing to do. But even in that, there's times the Lord keeps impressing on me, Jim, you need to give more. And I argue, can I be honest? I'll argue with the Lord about that. Lord, don't you realize you know what I'm giving, Lord. You know what I'm trying to do. And he says, am I taking care of you, Jim? And the argument's over. Huh? I dare say we can all afford to just do a little bit more as the Lord would lead us. Well, we're also called fourthly to be faithful in our witness. The faithful in our witness, are we not? In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to that church there in Colossae, group of Christians in a local church just like ours this evening, and he says this to them. He says, for the hope, in chapter 1, verses 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. There was a time when that church, it wasn't a church, let me say it right. There was a time when a preacher came to the city of Colossae and preached to them the things of God, preached to them Jesus. Paul goes on, he says in verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. This man Epaphras, we don't know a whole lot about him. Evidently a disciple of the Apostle Paul. We have no real word whether the Apostle Paul ever got to this place, the city Colossae, but one of his preachers did. And this man of Epaphras, one who's called a faithful minister of Christ, a faithful servant of Christ, went there to the city and preached Jesus to them. And what do we read here? These ones heard and believed. They heard and believed. We're called, beloved, to be faithful in our witness. Faithful in our witness. It's an obvious statement concerning this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Sometimes we don't emphasize this little phrase in that tremendous verse. We know it. It says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Ye shall be witnesses. And of course, he says, "Unto me." And he goes on to say, where will be witnesses? In our Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Beloved, it's interesting. It's interesting as we read that the Lord Jesus, as He instructed His disciples, the last thing He said to them before He ascended back to glory was saying, "You're going to be witnesses for me." Going to be witnesses. He doesn't say they should be witnesses, did He? He doesn't even make it in the form of a command. He doesn't say to them, "Witness for me." He simply declares, "Ye shall be witnesses." In the idea of the verse there, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, can I say it this way, is taking it for granted that those that have been saved, those that He, as we saw this morning, those that He has delivered from the wrath of God upon sin, are going to tell others. They'll be faithful witnesses for Him. And who should we be witnessing to? Everyone. Started right there at home and all the way to the uttermost part of the earth. Faithful to all. From our home to the entire world. Who is it that God wants us to witness to? Everyone. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, again, we're familiar with this. It says, "He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." How are they going to know? How are they going to know? We need to be like Epaphras, right? Be a faithful servant of Christ to tell others. A faithful witness of our Savior. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we look at this as in a matter of prayer, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, it says this. It says, "This is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," listen, "who will have all men to be saved." Have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't say that all men are saved. But that all men can be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Indeed, Lord help us to be witnesses. You know, I was digging around in my desk a week or so ago, and I found a slip of paper. And I thought, "What is this?" And I pulled it out, and it had an old friend's name on it. I hadn't seen him for, I haven't seen this man probably 18, 20 years ago. Talked to him on the phone maybe two or three times in all those years. And I had fond memories of our time together as we did some projects together and some different things. And his name is Lee Pickett. He's a plumber by trade. And I sent him an email, sent him my phone numbers and that. I said, "Don't know what you're up to these days, Brother Lee, but if you want to get together and talk about old times, give me a holler." Well, that night, I believe it was, he called me. And we talked, we said hello and exchanged those pleasantries like you do. And we started talking, and it was as if we like we had just seen each other the day before. Brothers in Christ. That bond to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was beautiful. We talked for about an hour. Or maybe longer. And he said to me, my wife came downstairs. She says, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "Lee Pickett." And she, She could have knocked her over with a feather, I think. He said to me, "Can I call you tomorrow?" And I said, "Sure, brother." Well, he called me back the next night, Tuesday night, and we talked another hour and a half. From Manitoba, Canada. I mean, he's so far up there, I think he's closer to go over the top than to... I mean, it's Manitoba, Canada. Thompson, the city of Thompson. Yeah, that bond that's there. Holy. I remember one time he's a plumber by trade, and he wrote me an email the next day, and he signed it off, Leaky Lee. That's what we teased him about. He's a plumber, and his nickname was Leaky Lee. I don't know about that, but I remember he plumbed my house for me when we were building it up in Pennsylvania, and did such an excellent job. And I remember going with him to the plumbing supply house. And, you know, I was, you know, 10,000 things on my mind about building that house. And we're kind of standing there at the, you know, the counter where you'd tell them what you're wanting. And we're standing back here about so far back. And there's two or three guys at the counter and two or three guys working back behind the counter. And we're just waiting for our turn. And this is just the way Lee is. He's got pretty good deep voice. And he says, "Well, Brother Jim, that was a great service Sunday." He says, "What?" And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, yeah. I mean, I had to catch up to him, man. He just started a conversation with me talking about Sunday's message. And it was, I said, okay, I can go along with this. And we just talked about the Word of God and about Christ. Guess what? All those guys in that plumbing shop got to hear. But that's just the way he is. He's a faithful witness. A faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was such a blessing to have that renewed fellowship with him. Well, we also, as we move along here, we want to see the commendation. The commendation for faithfulness. Aren't you thankful God takes note? We're familiar with that passage in Matthew 25. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to that faithful steward, that faithful servant. He said, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those not willing." Now listen to this. You listening? "Those not willing to serve Christ will never hear those words." Huh? Those not willing to be a servant will never hear those words. It's a sobering statement, isn't it? Those not willing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and His service will never hear those blessed words from our Savior. But on the other side of it, beloved, take note that God will not overlook your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to serve Christ will not go without His notice. Huh? It won't. How do you know? Because He's God. He's God, and as we saw last Sunday night, He's faithful. He is forever faithful. Those who are faithful to their Lord, those who are faithful to His church, those who can be relied upon. That's what faithfulness means, doesn't it? You can rely on them. They will indeed hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what? It doesn't take great gifts to be faithful. Just be faithful with what God's enabled us. And we said beginning tonight, God gifts us all to serve Him. To serve Him. But I plead with you, don't seek the applause of others. Don't seek the accommodation of or the commendation of others. Just real quick, and I don't want to dwell on this, but in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, if I'm looking at the right spot here, I think I might even wrote down the wrong verse. So be it. You know how that goes sometimes. We understand, I'll paraphrase. We understand that our God calls upon us to seek His commendation, not man's commendation. If we are looking for man's commendation, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, you have your reward. Huh? It's great to get a pat on the back. It's great to hear that well done from brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an encouragement to us. Don't seek it. Don't seek it. Because many times it's short-lived, isn't it? No. Serve for Jesus' sake. Serve for His commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then lastly, there's a crown for faithfulness. There's a crown for faithfulness. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, the Lord Jesus declares, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation. Wonderful, huh? 10 days. But he says, be thou faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. A crown for being faithful. Sometimes it gets tough, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we want to just pack it in. I can echo that. There's a lot of time. You know, Monday's a tough day for the preacher. Usually the preacher feels like he's missed it on Sunday. He just didn't have the goods for his people. And many a Sunday you're ready to pack it in. Give it up. Go to the house. But be faithful. Be not weary, right? In well doing. For in due season you shall reap. You faint not. We understand as we read here in Revelation that those faithful servants that endure, oh yeah, endure what may come our way, receive that crown of life. That crown of life. Faithfulness, beloved, is not the easy way. It's not the easy way. And sometimes it will require suffering. Sometimes it will require great testing. Question, can we endure the questioning? Can we endure those questioning, those testings? Sometimes it'll require enduring pressures from within and without. With our own hearts sometimes and even from the world. But Jesus promises, doesn't He? Jesus promises those who remain faithful receive that crown of life. I'd say that's worth it. To hear that words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and even receive that crown. But what will we do with the crown? Give it back to Him. Give it to Him. Lay it at His feet. Why? Because He's the one that deserves all the glory. He deserves it all. He's been so good to us, isn't He? He's always good to us. Crown studded with the gems of faithfulness. And we'll be so happy. We'll be overjoyed to be able to take those crowns and lay them at His feet. The one who endured it all for us. He's worthy, isn't He? He's indeed worthy. He's worthy of our love and our faithfulness. Indeed. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, this evening, we bow before You as the blood-bought children of God, Your children, bought and paid for by the blood of Your Lamb, our Savior, Jesus. Father, we realize that all we have, all we can have, all we can be is because of You. And it's our desire, Father, to be faithful to You. And Lord, this evening, I pray for myself. I pray for every every believer present here this evening. Lord, would you instill in us that heart's desire, that longing to be faithful to you, to fall in love with you with all our heart, our soul, mind, our strength, and to serve you with the same. Lord, we don't look for that commendation, but oh Father, what a blessing one day it'll be to hear the voice of our Savior say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for our Savior. Might we serve Him for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 243.
What are we saying tonight, folks? Might the Word of God dwell richly, huh? Dwell richly in our heart. The Lord leads.
I am resolved no longer to linger, drawn by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Amen. It's been good being with y'all today. Sure enjoy you. Sure love you. Pray your Lord's blessing on each and every home, each and every family. Please remember Beth Vaught. We'll be together before her surgery, but please pray for her this week. She's the first stage of this surgery to repair the aneurysm that she's dealt with for what, 23 years. I knew it was at least 20. Where's Bethany at? But please pray for Beth, and it's the first stage of a two-stage surgery. So, and all the others, different ones, Lily's homesick tonight, and so many others in our midst. Please pray for each other. Amen? Amen. Let's be doers of the Word and not hearers only tonight. Amen. Amen, Brother John.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, "I Love Him."
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
You're dismissed.